Hi, and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb. This is episode number 330, and today we'll be reading James chapters 3 through 5, which will close that book, and we'll begin the book of Nahum by reading chapters 1 and 2. So let's begin. James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we will be judged more strictly, for we all stumble in many ways. If someone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect individual, able to control the entire body as well. And if we put bits into the mouths of horses to get them to obey us, then we guide their entire bodies. Look at ships, too. Though they are so large and driven by harsh winds, they are steered by a tiny rudder whenever the pilot's inclination directs. So too the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it has great pretensions. Think of how a small flame sets a huge forest ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue represents the world of wrongdoing among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the entire body and sets fire to the course of human existence, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and sea creature, it is subdued and has been subdued by humankind. But no human being can subdue the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people made in God's image. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. These things should not be so, my brothers and sisters. A spring does not pour out fresh water and bitter water from the same opening, does it? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a vine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, he should show his works done in the gentleness that wisdom brings. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfishness in your hearts, do not boast and tell lies against the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and not hypocritical. And the fruit that consists of righteousness is planted in peace among those who make peace. James chapter 4. Where do the conflicts and where do the quarrels among you come from? Is it not from this, from your passions that battle inside you? You desire and you do not have. You murder and envy and you cannot obtain. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, so you can spend it on your passions. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world means hostility toward God? So whoever decides to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Or do you think the scripture means nothing when it says, "The spirit that God caused to live within us has an envious yearning"? But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, "God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." So submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and weep. Turn your laughter into mourning and your joy into despair. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers and sisters. He who speaks against a fellow believer or judges a fellow believer speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but its judge. But there is only one who is lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. On the other hand, who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, "Today or tomorrow we will go into this or that town and spend a year there and do business and make a profit." You do not know about tomorrow. What is your life like? For you are like a puff of smoke that appears for a short time and then vanishes. You ought to say instead, "If the Lord is willing, then we will live and do this or that." But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil, so whoever knows what is good to do and does not do it is guilty of sin. James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and cry aloud over the miseries that are coming on you. Your riches have rotted and your clothing has become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you. It will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have hoarded treasure. Look, the pay you have held back from the workers who mowed your fields cries out against you, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived indulgently and luxuriously on the earth. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person, although he does not resist you. So be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's return. Think of how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the ground and is patient for it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the Lord's return is near. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge stands before the gates. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name. Think of how we regard as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance, and you have seen the Lord's purpose, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you ill? He should summon the elders of the church, and they should pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great effectiveness. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and there was no rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain and the land sprouted with a harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, he should know that the one who turns a sinner back from his wandering path will save that person's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Nahum chapter 1. The Oracle against Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is a zealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and very angry. The Lord takes vengeance against his foes. He sustains his rage against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will certainly not allow the wicked to go unpunished. He marches out in the whirlwind and the raging storm. Dark storm clouds billow like dust under his feet. He shouts a battle cry against the sea and makes it dry up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossom of Lebanon withers. The mountains tremble before him. The hills convulse. The earth is laid waste before him. The world and all its inhabitants are laid waste. No one can withstand his indignation. No one can resist his fierce anger. His wrath is poured out like volcanic fire. Boulders are broken up as he approaches. The Lord is good indeed. He is a fortress in time of distress, and he protects those who seek refuge in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make a complete end of Nineveh. He will drive his enemies into darkness. Whatever you plot against the Lord, he will completely destroy. Distress will not arise a second time. Surely they will be totally consumed, like entangled thorn bushes, like the drink of drunkards, like very dry stubble. From you, O Nineveh, one has marched forth who plots evil against the Lord, a wicked military strategist. This is what the Lord says. Even though they are powerful, and what is more, even though their army is numerous, nevertheless they will be destroyed and trickle away. Although I afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And now I will break a serious yoke bar from your neck. I will tear apart the shackles that are on you. The Lord has issued a decree against you. Your dynasty will come to an end. I will destroy the idols and images in the temples of your gods. I will desecrate your grave because you are accursed. Look, a herald is running on the mountains. A messenger is proclaiming deliverance. Celebrate your sacred festivals, O Judah. Fulfill your sacred vows to please God. For never again will the wicked Assyrians invade you. They have been completely destroyed. Nahum chapter 2. The watchmen of Nineveh shout, "An enemy who will scatter you is marching out to attack you. Guard the rampart, watch the road, prepare yourselves for battle, muster your mighty strength, for the Lord will restore the majesty of Jacob, as well as the majesty of Israel, though their enemies have plundered them and have destroyed their fields. The shields of his warriors are dyed red, the mighty soldiers are dressed in scarlet garments, the metal fittings of the chariots shine like fire on the day of battle, the soldiers brandish their spears. The chariots race madly through the streets. They rush back and forth in the broad plazas. They look like lightning bolts. They dash here and there like flashes of lightning. The commander orders his officers. They stumble as they advance. They rush to the city wall and they set up the covered siege tower. The sluice gates are opened. The royal palace is deluged and dissolves. Nineveh is taken into exile and is led away. Her slave girls moan like doves while they beat their breasts. Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout her days, but now her people are running away. She cries out, "Stop! Stop!" But no one turns back. Her conquerors cry out, "Plunder the silver! Plunder the gold!" There is no end to the treasure, riches of every kind of precious thing. Destruction, devastation, and desolation. Their hearts faint, their knees tremble. Each stomach churns, each face turns pale. Where now is the den of the lions, the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, lioness, and lion cub once prowled, and no one disturbed them? The lion tore apart as much prey as his cubs needed and strangled prey to provide food for his lionesses. He filled his lairs with prey and his dens with torn flesh. "I am against you," declares the Lord who commands armies. "I will burn your chariots with fire. The sword will devour your young lions. You will no longer prey upon the land. The voices of your messengers will no longer be heard." I think it's important to remember that when God gives this kind of message, it's to either cause a people to turn around and repent and come back to him, or it's after he's told them that before and they've just refused. And then it is a final time that, okay, this is what's coming. And then, of course, James had some very good words about the power of the tongue. It's amazing how much damage we can do with this little muscle inside of our mouths. And conversely, it's amazing how much good we can do with it as well. Well, thank you for being with me today. I'm happy to be able to spend this time with you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.